Sam Israel is my hero, and he's living in Florida, and he wants to return to his beloved Lower East Side of Manhattan. But his son, who is an attorney, very aggressive young man, wants to keep him down in Florida. Sam realizes that he's not going to be able to convince his son to agree with him, so he steals away. So I'm picking up at that end of the first act. I'm picking up on the second act. Interior railroad station day. Sam gets off an Amtrak train at the 34th Street station in Manhattan. It's mid-morning, but there are still many commuters running about. The hustle and excitement of the city bring a smile to his face. With a lonely suitcase in his hand, he heads for the subway, stopping occasionally to look at the larger-than-life advertisements, many with young men and women smiling, joy and life in their faces. He smiles and mutters, "Better than Medicare." From time to time, people hurrying along bump into him, and he expresses delight at the vibrant encounters. He follows the signs to the independent subway, walks onto the platform, and holds his ears as the A train roars by. The train stops, its doors open, and he joins the quick passengers as they jump on. The doors close, the train moves on, the deafening noise diminishes as it fades into the tunnel. Sam gets off at the Second Avenue stop and walks slowly upstairs and exits on the First Avenue side. He turns left and walks east on Houston. Traffic is heavy both ways. He takes a deep breath, sighs, and walks south onto Allen Street. He aims directly for Rivington Street. "I made it. Here I am. I made it." He stops at the corner and looks up at the street signs, which read Rivington and Allen. He walks east on Rivington and stops when he reaches Orchard Street. Orchard Street, my dear old Orchard Street. He passes many small shops filled with ties and shirts and other types of apparel. In front of one, he stops. A young man in a black jacket stands at the entrance, occasionally yelling at someone who has touched the merchandise on display. Coats and jackets hang from above, and an array of shoes covers the front of the store. Shoppers walk about. Sam walks up to the display of shoes and stares. "Max," next character, "can I help you? We have more inside." "No, that's all right. Where's Dave?" "Is Dave here?" "Who? My father?" "Yes. He's here. Inside. Papa! Somebody here to see you. Go ahead inside." Sam enters the shop, which is filled with clothing of all kinds. Dave emerges from the rear and looks at Sam for a moment. He moves quietly. Sam says, "Dave, what's the matter? Don't you know me?" "Sam, is that you? Sam! Sam, my old friend. Sam, come in, come in." Sam and Dave rush towards each other and shake hands. "What a shock. Why didn't you warn me? You should have told me. I never expected to see you again. Never." "Dave, it's good to see you. How the heck are you? How are you? Here, put your suitcase down. Maxie, come here. I want you to meet my old friend, Maxie." Max comes into the shop, extending his hand towards Sam. They shake while Dave speaks. "This is my good friend, Sam Israel, and you should be very grateful to him." "Oh, Dave, don't. You shouldn't really." "No, it's only right. Maxie, you remember I told you many years ago, Samuel Israel owned this shop, and I worked as a clerk for him. He was a good boss, the best. When the time came for him to retire, he sold the business to me. I can still remember how scared I was to take over. But Sam encouraged me, and thank God he did. Since that time, we've had a good business, and we've lived pretty good, too. Right, Max? Yes, that's true. I'm awfully glad to meet you, Mr. Israel. My dad speaks of you all the time. You both worked here for so long. You have a son, too, I think, about my age. Yes, I do. That's right. How is your son? How is your wife? Oh, there are a million questions. But we can't stand here. Let's go in the back where we can sit down. Maxie. Yes, Papa. Some sandwiches. Corned beef. Pastrami. Pickles. I'll make the tea. Okay, Sam? Oh, that sounds good to me. Is Cat still the same? Bah. Nothing is like it was, Sam. Nothing. Look around you. You see? You see the schmaltz? And what can I tell you? Come. Come, let's go in the back. Dave and Sam leave the main business area and pass through a doorway which leads to a small room in the rear. Fully covered with white gloss paint, the room has a table, three chairs, stove, sink, and a refrigerator. A few pictures decorate the walls, and a single uncovered bulb hangs from the ceiling. So tell me, how's your wife? I lost her 6 months ago. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear. I know how you feel. I lost mine 3 years ago. Very lonely. It's a good thing I have my son, the business. I don't know what I would do. Loneliness is a terrible thing, Sam. No one should be lonely. That was my problem. In Florida, I had only her, and when she left, there was nothing. It was like the end of the world, just nothing. Hey, but your son. You have a son. Where is he? What's he doing? I hear he's a big lawyer. Oh, yeah, he's a great big lawyer. Oh, you have trouble. Oh, that's too bad. Well, you won't have trouble here, Sam. Relax, take it easy. Good. Here's Maxie with the food. Max enters the room with two small cylindrical packages in his hand. He cleans off the table, prepares settings for two, and exposes the sandwiches, placing the pickles and mustard between them. As he reaches for two glasses from the sink, he calls to his father, Papa, come. Mr. Israel, the food is here. Eat it while it's hot. I'll be outside, and when you're finished, I'll go to lunch. Dave and Sam pick up their chairs and carry them to the table. As he's positioning his chair, Sam jerks his head to the front where he hears Max yelling at some children in the street. Sam says, how did you do it, Dave? What? How did you raise your son to be so respectful to me? I'm curious to know where I went wrong. Tell me. Maxie. He's a good boy. That's silly, of course. He's a man. Yes, I can see. He's a good man. My son, I don't know. I gave him a good life, a good education. He became a lawyer from Columbia University. You know, all the big shots. I could never see him do what your son does. Maxie didn't want to stay in school. He didn't need it. Dave says, he went to college for a while, then dropped out. He wanted to help me with the business. Since that time, we've been together every day, and we grow closer and closer. Sam, you know the place is his. When I go, it's all his. Here, look. Here's a picture of the two of us in front of the store. We took it a couple of years ago. Sam, he makes it all worthwhile. You know, it isn't easy here, especially now. See what we have outside? But it's all worth it for him and his family. There are times when I want to give it all up, but he keeps me going. He says, Papa, if you stay home, you'll only find more aches and pains. So I get up every morning with him, 6 o'clock, and we come here. I do it all for him. He's worth it. He's a good boy. And I love him very much. Sam is truly God. He's so much. He listens to Dave's words. His chewing turns to slow motion and eventually stops. After a pause, he speaks loudly to break the spell. Dave, how's business? Dave, you look like it's okay. And how's your mayor? Well, what's his name? Who? Kutch? You mean Ed Kutch? He's okay. But you know, I like him. Business isn't bad. Nothing like it was, Sam. You have to be outside every minute. They'll rob you blind. We get along. It's nothing like some of the times you saw when you were here. Those days were different. You had different people to deal with, John. I'm not sorry I sold out. We had to do it sooner or later. You remember I couldn't continue. My son would have no part of the place. It's not in my plans for the future, he said. He wanted something else in life. I was very happy I sold it to you. At least I knew the place went to someone who really wanted it. And now I'm happy to know that your son enjoys it, too. Enjoys it? He loves it. He has so many ideas. He wants to do this, he wants to do that. I have to restrain him. Why? You shouldn't do that. He wants to sell different merchandise. Dave, that's right. You're still selling what we sold years ago. Times have changed. You have different people. They want different things, and you must adjust to their needs. Maybe so. Sure, you're not here to sell clothing. You're here to make a living from selling what they need. Try a new line. What can you lose? I have a feeling you've lost a lot already, staying with the old merchandise. Maybe I'll let him try one of his ideas. I think you should. Let him try. Sounds like you have a bright boy there. A very bright boy. Mine was bright, too. But he wanted something else. He developed differently. You know what he did in his second year of college? He came home to us and said, you know, Papa, I don't think I can call you Mama and Papa anymore. All his life he called us Mama and Papa. He said he wanted to call us Mater and Pater. I didn't know what he was talking about. Then he told us it was from the Latin. Mater and Pater means Mama and Papa in Latin, which is an important language for boys. His mother told him to use English, but he insisted. So for years he went around calling us Mater and Pater. Cards, Mater and Pater. Birthday cakes, Mater and Pater. Then he went to law school. That's where he became even smarter. He comes home to us and says, you can't call us Mater and Pater anymore. That's too immature. He said he wanted to call us by our first names, Gloria and Sam. We were liberal. We were modern. We wouldn't mind. Only me he didn't call Sam. He called me Sammy. Sammy! Not even my friends called me Sammy. Can you imagine that? He's the only son. I don't remember the last time he called me Papa. That's terrible, Sam. I feel very sorry for you. You're a good man and you deserve more respect than that from your son. After all, you gave him so much. You don't know the half of it. That's only the beginning. As the years went by, he became more and more successful. His mother always pushed him to be educated. As he grew more successful, he grew more distant from us, especially me. Graduation, law school, a big job with the government. That's good, Sam. Very good. How I wish my son could have done. Yes, yes, it's good. But there's no time for the family. He lost all contact, all respect. I always wanted to do something with him, but he was too busy with the studies. When he finished with school, I thought we'd have more time for us, but it was worse. His job with all the travel kept him away altogether. We never saw him. Not even chess? We had no time to make chess? Not even chess. That's too bad, Maxie. That's too bad. Maxie and I play almost every night. Maybe you and I will play later, yeah. I would like that. In Florida, I play by myself. I'm grieved by your unhappiness. If there's anything I can do to help you, my friend, please tell me. I don't know the full extent of your grief and with your son, and I hope it isn't anything more than what you've told me. Oh, it is, Dave, but who wants to get into it? What's the use? Maybe we ought to give your son a chance to have lunch. You're right. I have an idea. Let's go to Katz and get him a sandwich. We'll walk around and you'll have a chance to see the old neighbor. Let's go. Sam and Dave leave the rear and on the way, Sam examines some of the clothing. He rubs it with his fingers and shakes his head. At the entrance, they speak to Max. Maxie, we're going to Katz. What would you like? Corned beef and club? Corned beef and club. The old men leave the shop and walk north on Orchard. Dave points to various buildings and stores along the way. They both make comparisons of the old and the new. As at the corner of Houston and Ludlow, they stop at Katz's Delicatessen. And at the counter, Dave orders a corned beef on film. Counterman sinks a heavy fork into a large piece of pink beef. He slices it neatly. Dave grows fidgety as he watches him make the sandwich. Dave says, "Hey, don't make such a small sandwich. Put plenty of beef. That's for my son, Maxie." The cowboy says, don't worry for Maxie. I won't let him starve. All right, then. Fill it up. Good. There it is. Filled up good. Okay. What do you think? He has to have something good to eat. Dave and Sam return to the shop just as Max finishes with a sale. Max rubs his hands together and smiles. "Here, let me have it. I'll eat it right out here, and you and Mr. Israel go back inside, and I'll take care of the shop." No, are you sure?" "Yes, I'm sure. Just give me a glass of tea, okay, Pop?" "Okay, I'll bring it out in a minute." Dave scurries it to the end of the shop and Sam follows. He takes a pot from under the sink, fills it with water, and puts it atop the stove. He lights the burn. "It won't be long. I'll have your tea. Some for you too, Sam." "You see what I mean? He's such a good boy. This way, he gives us a chance to talk about old times. And of course, about the future." "We'll have to talk about the future too." "Yes, we'll have to get to that. But first, tell me about Manny. Whatever happened to Manny? He had that small shop on Allen Street. On the way here, I saw it was covered with wood. What happened? A fire?" "Yes, that's right. There was a fire. But Manny was not in the place. He hasn't been there for years. A heart attack 5 years ago caused him to sell out, and some kooky religious group moved in. Instead of selling ties, they held meetings and things, always with candles. One day a candle caught onto something and the place burned down. Manny wasn't there. I don't know what's become of him. You and he were close, I remember that. Maybe we'll ask around, see if someone knows." "Yes, I would like that. He and I had good times together. He had a lot of contacts. He could have done much better. But he didn't want to. He was satisfied from the few dollars the ties brought in. A simple man. Didn't bother anybody. Sorry to hear about his heart attack. It's a wonder I don't get one when all the aggravation my son gives me. He's one person who's only not easily satisfied. Always wants something better. Throws out suits. After only a year, even cars 2 or 3 years, out they go. I could never satisfy him. But what do you think," Dave says, "what do you think will happen? Do you think that, did you leave him peacefully, or will he come here looking for you just as mad as he can be? Tell me what's up, Matthew." "The last time I saw him, he was talking about papers. He said he would get papers to bring me back to my senses. I was too old to take care of myself. Can you imagine that? I raised it. I made it. And that's what he tells me. Too old to take care of this. Ah, the big lawyer. He can do many things that I never even heard of. He goes to this judge for that paper. He goes to that judge for another paper. And he has a lot of papers. Well, he's not going to get me to return. That's one thing I won't do. He says, I've been in Florida a lot. I wouldn't want to live there. It's a great place in the winter, but there's something hollow about it. Give me the city anytime. Sometimes it's hard to survive, but I can't think of living anywhere else. That's exactly how I feel. They're all dropping dead then. I couldn't stand it anymore. The thing that really got to me was a neighbor comes up to me one day and says, we should pitch in and buy tombstones at reduced prices. What? I don't believe it. That's right. It's funny, but he was dead serious. Wholesale. That's what I told my son. Wholesale. That was it for me. But maybe he can, Sam. Maybe he can bring papers and force you to return. He's a big lawyer. Then we'll have a fight. He's been looking for me, and I'll give it to him. I haven't beat him since he was a kid, but I'll give it to him now. Don't be foolish, Sam. You don't mean that. He's a child. You'll talk to him, and you'll see it'll be over. Don't become upset. If you only knew, why is he so disrespectful to me? If he only knew what he means to me, especially now, with his mother gone. He means so much. I criticize him, sure. I don't let anybody else do. In the end, he's my son. I feel the same way about him as you do about Maxie. Maybe, Sam, you would tell him. Tell him what? Tell him how you feel. That you respect him, that you need him. More than ever, tell him what you told me. That you love him. Ah, don't say ah. You must be able to speak to him. He may not know what's on your mind. How could he if you don't tell him? It's a two-way street, Sam. You know, it goes both ways. Silence. Dave says, when you say my son and I get along, it's because we know each other. We know what's on our minds and in our hearts. You must do the same with yourself. You express your feelings to me. I know how you feel, but the question is, does he? You must let him know, Sam. And I'll bet everything will be okay. Sam grows uneasy, unable to respond. He moves his head from side to side, trying to speak, but nothing comes out. Frustrated, he changes the subject. Dave, I need a place to stay. I made no arrangements. Maybe you know someone who has a place to rent somewhere close by? Oh, yeah, sure. I was thinking of the old building, but that would be too much to expect. The old building? You mean your old place on Allen Street? No, that's no good. How about this building? This building? Sure. There's a vacant three-room apartment on the top floor. It has a kitchen, bedroom in front. Well, you know these places around here. It's very nice. Very nice. Sam says it sounds good. Boy, right above the shop, what a deal. But what about the landlord? You think he'll rent it to me? The landlord? I'm sure he'll rent it to you. You know? You're sure? How could you be sure? What's the catch? Sam, the landlord. I'm the landlord. I'm the landlord. The building is mine. Sam, you rascal. I thought you said business wasn't good. Since when do you say business is good? But Sam, I'll tell you what. It's good today. Today it's very good. Sam says, you're right, Dave. Today it's good. Couldn't be better. The men stand and shake hands warmly. Just as Max steps into the room. At first, Max is puzzled. Then he smiles and breathes in the fresh air. I'll see you next time.